intense emotion. Let me take this opportunity on behalf of David and Sabrina and their families of welcoming you to this celebration service. We are delighted that you have come as these two lives come together, as these two families come together, and as you come to support them and show your love and your kindness toward them. I want to give a special welcome to those of you who have traveled a great distance to be here. All the time and energies that you have invested mean the world to this family, and I thank you for coming. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray together and seek the blessing of God upon the events of this day, upon these two families, and especially upon these two lives as they're formally united together in marriage. Our Father in heaven, we seek your face this day with joy in our hearts. And oh God, we thank you for the joy of life. We thank you for the joy of relationships and for the joy of family and for the joy of human emotion that seems on occasions like this to run so high. And our Father, we thank you for these two precious lives and their families and for your goodness to both of these families. And Father, we thank you for your providence that brings these two lives together. And we pray now that you would bless the proceedings of this day. We ask that your name would be magnified and that our hearts would, as a result, be enriched. And we pray your grace to be upon all that we do say and think, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The congregation, please be seated. We're gathered here today to give an opportunity to David and Sabrina to solemnize and affirm their union in the house of God, to hear their vows and to seek for them the help and the blessing of God. Marriage is a holy estate, instituted by God and dignified by the presence of Jesus Christ at the marriage of Cana in Galilee. It's commended in the Scriptures as honorable in all, and it's declared to be a symbol of the mystical union between Christ and His church. It is therefore not to be entered into lightly, rashly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of God, with consideration for the purposes for which it was ordained. And the Bible reveals that it was ordained for the lifelong companionship, help, and comfort which husband and wife ought to have from one another. And it was ordained for the continuance of family life, that children should be trained and nurtured in godliness. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I, in the memory of her father.
Amen. Thank you. It takes a big man to step in into the role of your father and to give you away. You might not know, but on Sabrina's bouquet, there is a picture of her father that today we stop for a moment and remember. What a joy it would have been should he have been with us today. But I know that should the question have been given to him who gives this woman to be married to this man, that not only would there have been a grand affirmation, but in one of his unique duck face, absolutely, right? If you know Aram, you know that he would have been delighted for Sabrina today, and especially David. We can, knowing Aram the way we have, we know that you would have had his blessing upon this union in the name of Christ. On Thursday, the wedding party came together and had a little rehearsal just to rehearse the events of this afternoon. But what some of you might not know is that Sabrina actually had a dress rehearsal 10 years ago. During one of her father's illnesses, she came to our home and spent 3 weeks there. And one day I came home and there she was wearing my wife's wedding dress. And even then she was making preparations. And it seems in some sense that she has been at that ever since. David, one of the more alarming things that she told us on that occasion is that she wanted 13 children. And I don't know if she shared that plan with you yet or not, but from what I've seen, most of the plans she makes come together. But Sabrina, today the dress rehearsals are all over. And today it's real time and here you are. And Jean and I, our family, couldn't be happier for you. The Lord has been good to you. He's brought you a good man. And we're grateful to God for that. David, I haven't known you long. But the more I get to know you, the more I like you. You are your own man. Right? And that's what we have grown to love about you around this church. And Your facial hair generally makes the most manly among us very jealous. However, you notice it's absent today, and so today must be a very special day that you have been clean shaven. And all your manliness, I kind of detected a little bit of nervousness in you in the last week or so. Sunday night we sat down and we were going over the vows, and David at that stage started to look a little like a deer in the headlights, and he said rather effeminately, "I'm getting nervous." And you know, weddings tend to have that effect upon the bravest of people. And I don't think it's the fact that you have 280 people looking at you right now. I think what causes nervousness is because of the type of commitment that you are making. The commitment that you are on the verge of making one to another is like no other commitment you will ever make in your life. And commitment, generally speaking, makes us all nervous. Remember that first time you bought your first car? All right, and that commitment, you're talking $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and there's a sense of uneasiness because of that commitment. Well, of course, that's nothing when you come to buy your first home. And for that young man who feels that military service is the way forward to him, that four-year commitment, I mean, commitment generally makes us nervous. Well, the vows that you're going to take in a few moments have every reason to make you nervous. I find them in some sense downright frightening. Marriage is a total life, total self commitment to another person. And that's the reason why some decide marriage is not for them, and why others decide or find out what commitment really means even when it's too late. And so the commitment of marriage from our point of view can make us nervous. It's therefore good sometimes to stop and to consider what God thinks of the commitment of marriage. And on your wedding day, I want to leave you just one phrase found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. It's a phrase that appears three times in the Bible. And here is God's view of marital commitment. My Jesus Christ said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And therefore, as you come together to make this amazing commitment one to another, I think it's important that you look at the commitment of God in marriage, because the commitment that God makes is constant. This phrase in Hebrews 13 and 5 is almost impossible to translate into English because it includes five negatives. And if I were to give it to you literally, it would read something like this: I will not cease to sustain you and uphold you. I will not let you down. Now, why does the Lord in His Word give five negatives on such a statement like this? I think it's designed to instruct us that no matter what the circumstance we encounter, God never leaves His people. And it's this type of commitment that becomes the basis of the vows that you soon will engage in, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And so David and Sabrina, may you ever remember that Christ is committed to His people when they're at their best. And thank God He's committed to His people when they're at their worst. He's committed to us when we're rich. He's committed to us when we're poor. And He's committed to us when we're spiritually poor. In fact, the New Testament tells us that God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ is committed to His people in sickness. Christ is committed to His people in health, and His commitment is constant. And therefore, I would encourage you to take that example as yours as you take commitment one to another today. The commitment of God, as He views the marriage bond, it's not only constant, but it's complete. And think of what He says: "I will never leave thee." Of course, that's a reference to His presence. And how complete then and how intimate is the relationship that God has with His people? He says, "I am giving you me." And sometimes in the marriage, you know, one spouse can be there, but not really there. That's not the way the Lord lives. That's not the way the Lord relates to His people. The blessing of God's commitment to His people is, "I am giving you me." I would encourage you to take that as an example as well, because there may come times when you are there in a sense, but not really there. But remember, God is always there, and He's there completely. And He goes on to say, "I will never forsake thee." And I think the reference here is to provision and protection. God provides physically. God provides emotionally. God provides spiritually. And it's easy for one spouse and another to provide, maybe physically, perhaps emotionally. But again, take the example of God Himself. He provides in every way and He protects in every way. And the Bible says that He withholds no good thing. And therefore, the only thing you want to withhold from one another is things that will harm you. And the things that will help you, these things are not to be withheld in any way. So how does God view marital commitment? His commitment to us is constant. His commitment is complete. Can I suggest to you it's also calculated? Because many people have made commitments to one another only to find out later certain things that challenge that commitment. Now, a couple of weeks ago, as we sat and had some pre-marriage counseling together, I asked this couple, I said, why don't you guys tell me about your strengths and weaknesses? Well, they haven't known each other for that long, but they could tell me some, and they were pretty accurate. You know, certain things they've detected in self and in one another, strengths and weaknesses. But the journey that you're on is going to indicate more. Like somebody said, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. And your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to learn more about strengths. And I can guarantee you, you're going to learn more about weaknesses. But stop and think of the relation God has with His people, because He enters into that and He knows omnisciently all of the weaknesses of His people. He knows them. And yet those weaknesses do not hinder Him in any way. The fact that it's almost embarrassing, the commitment that God has to us, because our commitment to Him is so poor. You may be familiar with a statement made in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 4. This is what Jesus said to those who were supposed to be committed to Him. You've left your first love. In another instance, even more graphic, as God would describe the lack of commitment of His own people to Him, He said, you have played the harlot with many lovers. What was He talking about? Well, He was likening their lack of commitment, He was aligning it with spiritual, marital infidelity. And yet notice how gracious the Lord is in His commitment. He said, yet return unto me, saith the Lord, return because I'm married to you. Right. Marriage means something to God. It's commitment. It's complete, it's constant, and it is calculated. In other words, He enters into this relationship knowing exactly what we are. And therefore, I would encourage you to let your commitment to each other always be a commitment that you render to each other in light of God's commitment to you. There will be days when you disappoint each other. There will be days when you disappoint yourself. There will be days when you do things that you wish you could take back. But I would encourage you to remember the commitment God has to you, notwithstanding all your strengths and weaknesses. Well, then God's view of marital commitment is also confined. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you've got many friends here. You've got many family members to love and to support. But the commitment that you make is one to another. And it's the same as Jesus Christ when He said, I will never leave you. He's talking about somebody. And who has that promise of the constant, complete support and provision of God? It's those who trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's those only to whom He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I hear that word forsake, I'm reminded of another verse where the same word appears. Now come ahead to Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. He's in agony of body and agony of soul. And He cries out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And I wonder upon that verse, do you understand the gospel of Christ's commitment? You see, Christ was forsaken for a season that we may enjoy His presence forever. God turned His back upon His Son once, that He would never have to turn His back upon us ever. God condemned His Son to death so that He might commit His people to life. Because God judged sin on His Son, He now accepts the believing sinner in His Son. I know that you're trusting in Jesus Christ, and therefore I would invite you to take the love of God to you as the model that you would now express one to another. One final thought this afternoon, and that is that the view God has of marital commitment is continual. And in a moment, the vow is going to be till death do us part. But that limitation is not upon the love of God for His people. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, 39, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for the hope of Psalm 23, 4. This was a psalm that I read to Aram just before he passed into eternity. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God death does not sever the commitment that God has to his people. And even today, although it would be our greatest desire to have Aram here to celebrate in this wonderful day, that God is as committed to him as ever he was. And I would encourage you then to take that example as you enter into this remarkable relationship this afternoon. And so David and Sabrina, today you're going to make the greatest commitment in your life. But it's really not a commitment that you need to be afraid of. God's not afraid of commitment. And we ought therefore to be grateful because our eternal destiny is dependent upon God's commitment to us. And to us, to those who trust in Jesus Christ, is that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What an example for a young couple on the verge of total life commitment. May God give you strength to commit as he commits and to love as he loves, even as you have been loved by him. This stage in the ceremony, we're going to have a duet from two of Sabrina's bridesmaids. David Blakeney Moore, will you have this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Sabrina Lynn, Mary Avedisian, will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love him, obey, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto him as long as you both shall live?
He will.
David, will you repeat after me? I, David, take you, Sabrina.
I, David, take you, Sabrina.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
I thereto, I pledge you.
I thereto, I pledge you.
My love and faithfulness.
My love and faithfulness.
Sabrina, will you repeat after me? I, Sabrina, take you, David.
I, Sabrina, take you, David.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto I pledge you.
And thereto I pledge you.
My love and faithfulness.
My love and faithfulness.
A marriage bond is a true covenant union in the sight of God, and when God made covenants in the Bible, he often gave people visible symbols or tokens of his faithfulness. And at this stage of the ceremony, Sabrina and David are going to give a ring to one another to signify the commitment that we have been speaking of. David, would you take Sabrina's ring and place it on her finger and then repeat after me? I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
Sabrina, would you take David's ring? Place it on his finger. And repeat after me. I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you.
That I have taken you.
To be my husband.
Be my husband.
Entreat me not to leave you.
Entreat me not to leave you.
Or to turn back from following after you.
Or to return from following after you.
For where you go, I will go.
For where you go, I will go.
And wherever you lodge, I will lodge.
Wherever you lodge, I will lodge.
And your people shall be my people.
Your people shall be my people.
And your God, my God.
And your God, my God.
And where you die, I will die.
Where you die, I will die.
And there will I be buried.
And there will I be buried.
Let's bow together and pray. Our Father, we stand amazed at the commitment that you make unto us. And, O Father, it's in light of that commitment that we now recognize the commitment of these two souls, one to the other. Our Father, we reckon that our word at times is not as true and as strong and as binding as we would want it to be. And so I pray that as you are the God of all commitment and a God whose word never wavers, that, Lord, you would impress upon the minds of both David and Sabrina the importance of covenanting before you and before witnesses, that indeed their word would be their word, and that, Lord, you would give them strength to be true to that commitment. And, O Father, I pray that it would not be a commitment against their will, but that you would teach them how to love as God loves, so that the commitment is a joyous expression of an inner commitment that they want to have one to the other. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be what they need to be. Help David to be that Christ-like figure in this relationship. Help him to love his bride even as Jesus Christ has loved the church and laid down his life for that church. And I pray, Lord, you would help Sabrina to respond in such a way as to bring marital joy to both of them, Lord. The best of marriages is fraught with challenges, and so we pray for grace. I pray that you would give them strength. We thank you for the joy of today, but we're conscious, Lord, that many good days are ahead and also many challenging days. And we pray that as they make this commitment on a day of great joy, that the binding nature of it by the power of your Spirit will enable them, Lord, in the days of tremendous hardship and grief and difficulty, to be able to pledge allegiance even in the same fashion. So help them and strengthen them. And as these families are united together formally, knit them together. Let it not be just a relationship out of convenience, but may there be true love. May there be many happy days ahead. May there be days of joy and gladness ahead. And Father, we pray even today for those in this same family circle who are suffering grief, that Lord, you would bless them. What a reminder, even on this day of great joy, that there's others in this family that are experiencing great sadness and grief. And so, Lord, have mercy upon those who are grieving and give strength to those who are in joy. And Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. And you've said that we're to weep with those that weep. And at the same time, we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. We thank you for your goodness. Bless this union. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For as much as this man and this woman have affirmed their mutual commitment before God and in the presence of these witnesses, I declare them to be husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, whom God hath joined together. Let not man put asunder. David, you may now kiss your bride. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Will the congregation please stand? Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. David Moore. Thank you. And they look forward to greeting you then. Thank you.